the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we're on page 2, volume 11, 11 to 12. My daughter, I am here inside of you, Louisa. Now, the wonderful thing about this is Jesus is also saying this about us. And this is what we have to begin to understand. We belong to Him. And so, listen to what He says with Louisa. He says, if you want to recognize yourself, come unto me. Okay, and a lot of people, you know, they try to say, well, I'm good at this, I'm good at that, I have a talent this, I have a talent that. It doesn't mean anything. If you want to recognize yourself, come into me. To recognize yourself inside of me. See, this again is so important. We are so one with Jesus because of our baptism. We're so one with Jesus by going to confession. We're so one with Jesus by receiving Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We're so one with Jesus by being confirmed. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus says, if you want to understand who you are, come unto me. Why? Because you will recognize yourself only inside of Jesus. You see what Jesus is doing? He's asking us to do what he came to Louisa. So he says this, if you come to recognize yourself in me, you shall put yourself in order. Now, most of us are in complete disorder. What happens is we become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, and what happens at that point is it's complete disorder. And Jesus says, if you come to recognize yourself in me, you put yourself in order. Everything, your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, even your sin will disappear. Why? Because in me, you shall find your image, made by me, and similar to me. See, we belong to God. Again, we are children of God. And once we understand that we are children of God, everything becomes in order. When we believe the evil one, or what somebody says to us, or even what we do ourselves. See, we can curse ourselves. People can curse you. You're no good. You're too short. You're too tall. You're too fat. And we can say, I'm too short. I'm too no good. I can't do this. We've got to stop all this cursing. We have to begin to understand who we are. We are completely and uniquely different from everybody else. Our irises are different. Our fingerprints are different. Our voices, our heights, our colors, our everything is different. Why? God loves our uniqueness. And what we try to do, and what society tries to tell us, is, oh, you got to look like this. You got to act like that. You got to study this. You got to study that. No. It's to know Jesus. To go to Jesus and let Him show us who we are. See, what Jesus says to Louisa, he says, I want to make each soul a divine masterpiece. When you go into a museum, you know, what do you find? Etchings and paintings and sculptures, you know, watercolors, oil paintings, everything's different. And even if they're the same with oil or sculpture, they're completely different. Why? God loves our uniqueness. And what Jesus wants to do is Jesus wants to make of us a divine masterpiece. He has something planned from the beginning of time for each and every one of us. And what we have to do is we have to say, Jesus, you can have your way with me. Do with me as you wish. Now, if you are trying to follow someone, okay, I guess we got to start over. I seem to click on this thing. So we're going to act as if I never said anything. And I'm hoping you can do something about it. Okay, here you go. Line 11 to 12. My daughter, I am here inside of you. And again, this is what God wants to say to us. If you want to recognize yourself, come into me. And to recognize yourself inside of me. Okay, so this is where we see who we are inside of Jesus. And if you come to recognize yourself in me, you shall put yourself in order, because in me you shall find your true image. And made by me, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, similar to me. So again, what our Lord is asking of us is that we really begin to embrace this truth that Jesus said to Louisa. Okay, it's very, very important. He says, you shall find everything that is needed to preserve and embellish this image. Okay, so the how and the why we are going to be this image and likeness of God is going to be found in these writings. You're going to learn how to preserve and how to embellish this image in the image and likeness of Christ. Okay? As you come to recognize yourself in me, you shall also recognize your neighbor in me. And in seeing how I love you and the other, you shall rise to the degree of true divine love. Okay? Now this, see right now, we are we get upset with people, families, friends, acquaintances. What happens is we remember a lot of times the hurt and the negative. And what Jesus is saying, he says, if you recognize yourself in Jesus, you shall also recognize yourself, your neighbor in me. Okay, it's to love God with your full mind, your full heart, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Why do we love ourselves? Because Jesus is there. Why do we love our neighbor? Because Jesus is there. See, what God is trying to do is he's trying to make us aware of this great lesson. I am inside of you. This is what you have to understand. I want you to recognize yourself in Jesus. I want you to recognize yourself inside of Jesus. So, like when we do our preceding act and our actual acts throughout the day, Jesus gazed in my gazing. Jesus listened in my listening. Jesus walked in my walk. You see, what Jesus says in Mark 36 is he says that the human senses were made for God. We're to see God, to hear God, to smell God, to touch God, to taste God. And as Catholics, this has already begun. When we look at Jesus in the monstrance, there, that which looks like bread and tastes like bread is God. Worthy to be adored. We fall on our knees to adore him. When we hear sacred scripture, you know, especially the gospel, preach, we hear Jesus speaking to us. When the incense is used, we begin to smell the odor of sanctity, knowing that our prayers are rising up to heaven. When we hold hands, we Jesus says, "For two or three are gathered, I am there." Jesus, we're experiencing the love of Jesus. See, our senses, we taste the host. Everything about us is to focus on God. Because this means when Adam sinned, he lost his divine ability. He lost the divine senses. And Jesus, through his church, is bringing us back to this divine senses. As Catholics, we understand this. He's now saying, I want more. I want to give you more. I want you to enter into this life more. So again, what our Lord is showing us is something that is so magnificent that he's asking us, he's pleading with us to enter into this gift. So he says, you shall also recognize your neighbor in me, and in seeing how I love you and the other, you will then rise to the degree of true divine love. See, it's human love is fickle. You know, it's not this. We're not talking about human. We're talking about divine. Remember, where that drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine. That drop of water is nothing. It enters into that cup, it fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. So Jesus is saying to us, I want to share with you my divinity. Where did that drop of nothing? So he says, everything inside and outside of you shall take on the true order, the divine order. You see what Jesus is doing? He's preparing us for this new beginning that's coming. It is a new beginning. It's a glorious beginning. And what's happening in the church has to happen. What's happening in your families has to happen. What's happening in our nation has to happen. Don't complain. Jesus says, I have to purify my church. I have to purify your nation. I have to purify your families. So what God does is He shows us all that's happening. And then what does He do? We can complain about it, we can be angry, we can be upset, or we can say, yeah, Lord, I want everyone and everything to enter into this divine order. I want everyone to have and everything. And again, I'm not worried about my family. God bless them, but I'm not worried about them. What I know is that what Jesus said to the reason. He says, you do what I want, and I'll do what you want. I have total confidence that God is going to take care of every situation. Why? Because I'm trying to listen to what He says. And He says, I will take care of everything. Do you believe me? Jesus says. Do you trust me? Our response is to you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how impossible the situation is. That's nothing. God is a miracle worker. He loves it when it's impossible. Because then He looks at us and He says, do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Look in Sacred Scripture. Everyone that was healed, Jesus says, you are healed because of your faith. You believe. Remember the woman, 18 years bleeding, and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. That's the tassel on the tilt. But why? Because Leviticus says the Messiah will heal by that tassel, by the hem. She believed. That's why Jesus put premise. Who did this? Who believes in me? And finally, the woman said, it's me. He goes, it's because of your faith. You see what Jesus is going to do? It doesn't matter the situation. What matters is to believe. You have confidence. You have to believe more than your family. You have to believe more than members of the church. You have to believe 100%. And Jesus says, if you do this, watch what I do. You will begin to live in the divine order. Volume 12, 4:15-19. Only those who receive the good of receiving the seed of my divine will in their hearts, they are the ones that will dispose themselves to receive the good of seeing me resurrected. See, there was only a few that saw Jesus raised from the dead. There's only a few of them. Why? He says, only those who receive the good of receiving the seed of my divine will in their hearts, which is fiat, dispose themselves to receive the good of seeing me resurrected. Now, the importance of my redemption was the resurrection, in which more than refulgent sun crowned my holy humanity, making even my most tiny acts shine with such splendor and marvel as to astonish both heaven and earth. The resurrection shall be the beginning, the foundation, and the fulfillment of all goods, crown and glory of all the blessed of all the saints in heaven. My resurrection is the true sun, which worthily glorifies my holy humanity. It is the sum of the Catholic religion, Catholic faith. See, this universal life is so important to Jesus. How fortunate we are being baptized Catholics. How much God loves us that He has given us, that He says very clearly, the Son, the resurrection is the true Son, which worthily glorifies my holy humanity. This Son is the Catholic faith. Don't be stingy with your faith. Live your faith. I mean, you will be persecuted, you will be ignored, ridiculed, laughed at, rejected, spit upon. That's part of the life, that's part of being Catholic. When somebody in your family marries outside the church and you don't attend the wedding, and you are cursed, so be it. You say, basically, to be a Catholic and married outside the Catholic Church, to live in sin, means you're not going to go to heaven. How can you go and celebrate? You stick to your faith. You stick to the truth. Oh, you're going to hurt the family. You attend and say, I'm happy if you die tomorrow, you go to hell. I'm going to even give you a gift. I'm so happy that you're married outside the faith. Jesus says the Catholic faith is everything. It's everything. And you have to be Catholic. Don't pick and choose. You know, don't be what do you call that?
Cafeteria Catholic.
Thank you very much. Cafeteria Catholic. Yes, you don't want to do that. Faith is everything. It's everything. It is the glory of every Christian. Without the resurrection, it would have been as though heaven without the sun, without heat, without life. Now, my resurrection is the symbol of the souls who shall form their sanctity in my most holy divine will. My resurrection, this is what Jesus is talking about us. My resurrection is the symbol of the souls who shall form their sanctity in the divine will. The saints of the past century, symbolized by holy humanity, although resigned, they did not have a continuous act of my divine will. They only did the will of God. Therefore, they did not receive the mark of the Son of my resurrection. The mark of the works of my holy humanity before my resurrection. You see what Jesus is doing. He says, I've saved the best for last. I'm going to give the little children of the holy divine will the greatest. How can he do that? He's God. And now we're going to enter into the third fiat. What does the third fiat mean? Heaven on earth. What does the third fiat mean? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. No more sin, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more death. That's what's coming. It's the new era that Our Lady, what did Our Lady say in one of her apparitions? She says, when I stop appearing here, I will not appear on earth again. And everybody goes, whoa, no, Our Lady will be here. There's just no need to appear. What did Our Lady say to Bruno in 1947 in Rome? She said, Our Lady in Revelation, she says, time has now come to an end. She says, my children are going to live in the beatific vision. The devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space. A new era is coming. She said that 71 years ago. It's about time you listen. Therefore, this is about the saints. There shall be many, almost like stars, that shall form a beautiful ornament to the heaven of my holy humanity. But the saints of living in my divine will, who shall symbolize by my resurrected humanity, shall be few. There's not going to be many living in the divine will. He doesn't need them. See, we're doing it for everyone and for everything. But I think you have to remember, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. It's the same thing with the divine call. Not everybody who says, I want this gift, will be living it. We've got to prove it to Jesus. How do we prove it to Jesus? Well, one of the reasons we wear the scapular, the Benedictine office of the divine will, is we promise Jesus that we will read a minimum of a half hour a day. A minimum. And what happens is, as you read this, as you study it, as you put this into practice, everything changes for you. Your worry disappears. Your anxiety disappears. Everything that controlled your life becomes peaceful, joyful, and happy. See, the life of the divine will is to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Okay, so he says this. He says, in fact, many throngs and crowds of people saw my holy humanity, but few saw my resurrected humanity. Only the believers, those who are most disposed. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to be disposed to the divine will. I could say only those who contain the seed of my divine will. Now again, no one here possesses the divine will fully. Nobody does. The only one is the least. Jesus is saying, I want to give this to the world, but I find nobody that wants it. And we say, oh, I want the divine will. And then we continue to live in our miserable human condition. See, that we have to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, to prove to Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, how to live this life through little Elisa. Again, our focus has to be on this. This is what Jesus is asking. He says, in fact, they did not have the seed. They would have lacked the necessary sight to be able to see my resurrected and glorious humanity, and therefore be spectators of my ascent into heaven. Now, if my resurrection symbolizes the saints of the living in my divine will, and this with reason, since each act, each word, each step, etc., done in my divine will is a divine resurrection that the soul receives. It is a mark of glory the soul receives. It is to go out of herself in order to enter divinity, the divinity, in order to love, work, think, hide yourself in the refulgent sun of my holy divine will. What is the wonder if the soul remains fully risen and identified with the very sun of my glory? And symbolized my resurrected humanity. So here Jesus is saying that he is asking us to leave the human understanding and enter into the divine understanding, to understand the way Jesus thinks. This is what God is asking. See, to understand that the three powers, the intellect, memory, and will, our intellect, we have to begin to learn to think the way Jesus thinks. Okay, again, I said that with humanity. Humanity is the way God wants us to think. What is human life? What is it all about? Then, from that, you go to our memories. It's not what people say about me, what people think about me and my family. It's no. The memory is Jesus, Mary. This is why we pray the Holy Ghost, to go to Jesus, to look at Jesus with the love of Mary, to listen to Jesus with the love of Mary. This is what the rosary is all about. And then finally, your will. You can live in your human misery for the rest of your life and be miserable to the end, or you can say, I want to enter into the divine. And what is great is God brings us to that point. It's a decision we use. We use our free will to choose. Do I want to continue to live a miserable human will, worrying, fearful, being anxious, complaining, being negative? Or do I want to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which they gave to Elisa? Again, it's up to us. this is what's so spectacular about this, is God is doing this. And why? It's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort says. They'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and toward the end. He says, and it's nothing that they do. It's what God's going to do for them. That's this gift of the divine will. Read. Study. Put this into practice. Learn what's in volume 27. Be able to say, you know what I love in volume 27? Is when Jesus says that to me. You know what I love in volume 10? Is when Jesus says that to me. You know what I love in volume 2? Jesus says that. It's to echo what Jesus says. Remember, when the Spirit of Truth comes, He will reveal to you all truth. He will remind you of everything that Jesus has said. St. John talked about it. He says, if everything is recorded in the libraries, that's the book of heaven. As you read it, as you read it again, it's brand new. As you read it again, it's brand new. God is expanding our capacity. He says each word that I speak to you, release them, is a divine one. He wants to fill us with divinity. And kind of think about it. The Word of God dictated these words to Lisa. How magnificent is this? That God has given us the book that He named to St. Otto de Francia. St. Otto de Francia, you know, he was trained by Melanie of La Salette. She didn't have a spiritual director. He became her spiritual director. So all those years with Melanie talking to St. Anna of Francia, Our Lady was preparing him for Louisa. So when he got to Louisa, he says, this is of heaven. She is more of heaven than of earth. It's exactly the same words that St. Padre Pio said about Louisa. She is more of heaven than of earth. This is something that Jesus has waited, since I've waited 6,000 years to give this to mankind. So Jesus says this. How many lines from the bottom?
But four.
Okay, thank you. I always used to keep my finger there, but you know. Okay. But few are those who dispose themselves to this. Okay, see? Because even in sanctity, souls want something for their own good. And I told you about that one nun. She says, I don't believe in the divine will. I said, why? She says, then my whole life is wasted. Okay. If Jesus wants to give you this gift, how can your life be wasted? She goes, everything that I've done is wasted. She wanted something of their own good. I have the hardest time with religious. The religious, God bless them, but they want something of their own good. We have to live in our nothingness. He says, this is what he says. While the sanctity of living in my divine will has nothing of its own, everything is of God. See, we say to God, do with me as you wish. Make this divine masterpiece that you want. Say, for example, you're into sculpture, and you hear this, God wants to make a divine masterpiece, and you go, okay, I want to be chiseled, I want to be carved, I want to be made into what God wants. And your whole focus is that. God's thinking of a painting. Your whole life is going to, no, I can't be chiseled, no, I can't be painted, get the paint away from me, I got to be chiseled. No, you're not listening to God. See, it's to say to God, have your way, do with me as you wish. See, this is the exciting part. He's going to bring about in you, as we heard from earlier, from suffering, things that you never expected. Things that, because it says, he opens the door to us through suffering. Now, when we say, no, I have to be carved, I'm sorry, this is, get the pain away from me, I don't want that, And God says, I want to stretch you into a canvas, and then I want to paint you white, and then I want to paint you. I've got all these colors I've got planned, and you're going, nope, sorry. Nope, nope, nope. See, it's to say to Jesus, whatever you want is what I want. Total docility, total surrender. That's the blessed covenant. When Joseph said, Mary, we've got to flee to Egypt, he says, wait a minute, I've got a house in Nazareth, and we're going to Nazareth. We're not going down to Egypt. We're never going to find a job there. It was fiat. You see, so God is saying to us, always say fiat, always say okay. And to him, so he says this. He says, everything is of God. It takes too much for souls to dispose themselves to do this, so they to strip themselves of their own goods. So this is the religious. Therefore, there shall not be many who will live in the divine wealth. You are not in the number of the many, but of the few. You have to understand what Jesus is saying. I remember being in Syracuse, and we were talking that night, and I said to everybody, I said, there is more light in this room, divine light, because of the divine will. There is such light that this place is on fire, I said. I remember saying that. And then, you know, we leave and we're done. That night, the candle factory burned down. And the next day, the paper said, the biggest fire, the biggest light in Syracuse. Now, what is that? That's the devil saying, yeah? I'll destroy and make more light than that. You have to understand, this light is not saintly, good, or holy. It's divine. It's to be that drop of water put in the cup filled with wine. It's to fuse and diffuse ourselves into this gift. This is what Jesus wants. This is what St. Louis de Montfort says, to be the greatest saints. So he says this. This is what Jesus says. These are words of Jesus. You are not in the number of the many, but of the few. Therefore, be always attentive to the call, to your continuous flight in the divine dwelling. Always have the book of heaven. Read, study, put this into practice. Make this your life. Go to your room, close the door, and pray. You see, God has to give everybody what they want. And what's coming is going to be very, very painful for most. What's coming is going to be very painful. Jesus says four things. What's coming is the chastisement. He says this to the weak suffer. The chastisement is going to be so great that the majority of humanity will be gone. That's number one. Number two, he says, my mother is marking all her children, and no harm can come to them. Number three, he says, that the children of the divine will, those that are marked by my mother, the chastisement will have little or no effect. And the fourth, he says, is the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the Holy Divine Will. You have to understand, the world is going to be purified. Jesus says, this gift is so holy, it's so beautiful, it's so perfect, that it can't come to the earth at this point. The world, this is why the church is being purified. This is why your families are being purified. This is why the nations are being purified. The divine will is coming. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfillment of our Father is happening. And he's saying it's happening through Louisa and the little children of the Holy Divine Will. This is what he has in store. This is, again, when I was in the Vatican and met Cardo Ratzinger in 1996, when we were copying the writings in the secret archives of the Vatican, he was happy. He was bubbling. He was so happy that we were there. Now, why? Because Father B, Vida, in the Benedictine monastery near the home of Cardinal Ratzinger and his brother, they, as little boys, went there, he said. I could just see Father Beaton giving to this little kid, hey, read this. Here's the Virgin Mary King. Read this. Because the Germans were the first to make copies of Luisa's writings back in 1930. And I can see after that, him knowing him and talking to him about this, because he was so on fire. As a matter of fact, we even have a letter from him to the Archbishop of Mexico City saying the writings, this is back in 1990, the writings of Luisa must be published. This seems something great is coming. Something magnificent is coming. And again, and the Lord has called us to be the ones to have it. Again, we're nothing. We're the worst. Yet God wants to use us. He wants to prove to the world that it's not us. We're the bottom of the barrel. We're just mush. We're the bottom of the barrel. And He wants to use us to prove to the world it's Him that's doing it. Vine 14, 4, 6, 22. My daughter, how beautiful are the prayers and the acts done in my most holy divine will. Pray your prayers in the divine will. Just, Jesus says, when you say, I love you to Jesus, say, I love you in the divine will. He says, they are so powerful when we say this. How beautiful are the prayers and the acts done in my divine will. How the creature is transformed in God. How the Creator Himself, and it gives Him the return for what He has given to her. See, the creature is transformed in God. The Creator Himself gives Him the return for what He has given to her. See, we're giving back to God what God gave to us. Okay, for example, God breathes this rule of God, this breath of God. He breathes this I love you into our lungs. We breathe in, yeah, I love you, and then we breathe out His I love you back to Him. It's not human. He's saying, God, do everything in the divine will. When you pray your prayers in the divine will, pray your prayers, pray in the divine will. But then begin to learn the prayers that Jesus taught Lisa. The prayers that Mary taught Lisa. Remember what our baby said to Lisa? She says, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. Prayers that God prays. That God says, that Jesus said. This is so amazing. Again, this is what he's saying. How the creature is transformed in God. The Creator Himself, and then gives God the return for what God has given to her. I, Jesus, created everything for Adam, and I gave everything to Adam as gift. In my divine will, the creature rises up again to her God and Creator, and finds God in the act in which God created all things to give them to her as gift. And trembling before the multiplicity of so many gifts, of not having within herself the creative divine power of God to create as many things, for as many things as she receives, she offers her own things back to God to requite Him in love. See, what happens is God breathes this rule of God, this breath of God, comes into us. Why? So that we can give back to God divine. It's not human. You see what Jesus is doing? He's saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you share in my divinity. You're going to be in my image and likeness to do what God does. Jesus would breathe in and he'd breathe out a divine I love you. We're human. We can't do that. But when we say, Jesus, I want to live in your divine will, he takes us at our word. We breathe in. Jesus is breathing in us. And when we breathe out, it's Jesus breathing out a divine I love you. Do you know what's going to happen when the divine will finally reigns? The hospitals will be empty. What's coming is no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. You see what Jesus is getting us ready for? Eternity is coming. the beatific visions come. How? Through his holy Catholic Church. He says, I'm ready. He said to Lisa, I've found maybe in the saints. He says, now I want your children to share in my divinity. Why do you think everything's falling apart? Everything's falling apart because the kingdom is coming. It's done. It's over. It's not to go back to the 50s. It's to begin to live an abundant life, one with Jesus and Mary. The new Adam and the new Eve. How are we going to do this? Through this newborn, Luisa Nicoletta. Who is this Luisa Nicoletta? Who is she? Who is this Luisa Nicoletta? What we're going to discover is things that are going to astonish us. Line 4:13-22. You must know, this is a command from Jesus. You must know that Luisa, the one who lives inside the divine world, must rise up high, but so high as to live in the womb of the Most Holy Trinity. This is to go back to our origin. Where did we come from? Where did Adam come from? Jesus says, from the womb of the Most Holy Trinity. God created Adam out of dust. He breathed into dust his image and likeness. Adam lost it. Jesus now says, I want to return you to where you came from, back to the womb of the Holy Trinity. So he says, your life and ours must be one. Therefore, it is necessary, as a chorus, for you, Luisa, and us linked to Luisa, to know where you are and with whom you are, and to conform to whatever we trying God do, and that not by force but willingly, with divine love and with full knowledge. You live in our womb. Going back to God. See, this is something that's so, it's astonishing everyone. And again, what comes back is when we were with the cardinal in 2015, and he said, the Vatican wants these books printed. They know what this is. And again, don't look at the negative, look at the positive. Great things are coming. Magnificent things are coming. And God is asking us to be the ones to bring this about. God is asking us to do this. Why are we here? God is expecting great things from us. How are we going to do it? It's by allowing Him to do it in us. Listen to what it says. You must know that the one who lives in my divine world must rise up high, but so high as to live back in the womb of the Most Holy Trinity. Your life and God's must be one. Therefore, it is necessary, it's glorious, that you, Luisa, and souls linked to Luisa, know where you are and with whom you are, and to conform to whatever we trying to God do. See, this isn't human. It's divine. Again, a drop of water is not a drop of water anymore. It becomes wine. We share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. God is doing this. And we have been graced by God to be Catholic. We've been graced by God to be given these to the book of heaven. Who are we? We're not. Yet God is saying, I'm depending on you to do this for the world. I'm depending on you. I haven't given it to your family. I haven't given it to your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers. They don't want it. I'm giving it to you. And you want this. Our response is, yes, Lord. Let it be done as you say. That's our response. Line 14, 4:21-22. Therefore, come into my most holy divine world together with me, Jesus, and let us rise between heaven and earth. Let us adore together the supreme majesty of God. Let us bless it and give it homage for everyone, past, present, and future, so that all of heaven and all of earth may be filled with divine adoration, because Jesus is going to be with us. Divine promises, divine blessings, in all that all may receive their divine effects. It's one of the reasons everything's capitalized. This is divine. It's not just human adorations. It's not human images. It's not human blessings. It's divine. God's expecting a great deal from us. He's really expecting an awful lot from us. And he's asking us, pleading with us, would you be willing to say yes to this? Would you be willing? So we'll end there, and we'll have rosary at about 5 to 11, and then Holy Mass. Okay, God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.